Chapter 3. Oliver finds a new home in London. It was late the next morning when Oliver woke. Only the old man was in the room, making coffee for breakfast. When the coffee was made, Fagin looked over at Oliver, who was lying very still. Thinking that Oliver was asleep, Fagin quietly got out a box and opened it. His eyes were shining as he took out a beautiful gold watch and examined it carefully, smiling to himself. He then took out more gold watches, fine necklaces, rings and bracelets. Oliver was amazed. He wondered why the old man lived in such a dirty room if he was so very rich. When he had looked at everything, Fagin put the box away. Oliver got up, and soon the Dodger returned with another boy whose name was Charlie Bates. The Dodger took some hot bread rolls out of his hat, and the three boys and Fagin sat down to breakfast. Fagin gave Oliver a quick look and then said to the Dodger and Charlie,
"I hope you've been working hard this morning, my dears."
"Very hard," said the Dodger.
Good boys," said Fagin. "What have you got, Dodger?"
"Some purses,"
said the Dodger, taking out two purses, one green and the other red.
"They're very nicely made," said Fagin. "He's clever, isn't he?"
the old man said to Oliver.
"Very clever, sir," replied Oliver,
at which Charlie Bates laughed loudly for no reason that Oliver could understand.
"And what have you got, Charlie?" Fagin asked.
"Handkerchiefs,"
said Charlie, taking out four handkerchiefs and giving them to Fagin.
"You'd like to be able to make handkerchiefs as well as Charlie, wouldn't you, my dear?"
Fagin said to Oliver.
"Yes, sir, if you'll teach me,"
Oliver replied. Charlie laughed again even more until tears came into his eyes.
"He doesn't know anything,"
he said when he could finally speak. After breakfast, Oliver watched as Fagin played a very strange game with the two boys. The old man put his watch in one trouser pocket, a handkerchief in another, and a purse in his coat pocket. Then he walked up and down with his stick, like a gentleman, stopping here and there as if he were looking in shop windows. He kept turning to look around him, and he kept feeling his pockets to check everything was there. Meanwhile, the Dodger and Charlie followed behind him, hiding from him and taking things from Fagin's pockets without him knowing. Any time Fagin felt a hand in his pocket, the game would begin again. When they had played the game a great many times, two young ladies, Bet and Nancy, came to visit. Their hair was untidy and their clothes and shoes were not very clean, but they were friendly and Oliver thought they were very nice. They stayed a long time, talking and drinking with Fagin and the boys. When at last they left, taking Charlie and the Dodger with them, the old man kindly gave all four of them money to spend. When they were alone, Fagin said to Oliver,
"Now you try. See if you can take my handkerchief out of my pocket without my feeling it."
Oliver did as he was told, holding the bottom of the pocket with one hand and pulling the handkerchief lightly out of it with the other.
"You're a clever boy, my dear," Fagin told him. If you go on like this, you'll be a great man one day.
Oliver wondered why emptying the old man's pocket without Fagin knowing would make him a great man. But he thought that the old man must know a lot more than him, so he said nothing. Oliver spent the next few days in much the same way, and during that time, the Dodger and Charlie brought home many more handkerchiefs. At last, Oliver wanted very much to go outdoors in the fresh air, so he asked Fagin to let him go out to work too. Finally, Fagin agreed, and early one morning, Oliver was allowed out with the Dodger and Charlie. He walked between them, wondering what work they were going to do. They walked slowly, the Dodger pulling the caps from the heads of small boys, and Charlie helping himself to an apple from a fruit stall. Then they came to a bookstall, where an old gentleman was reading a book. The Dodger put his finger to his lips.
"Shh," said the Dodger. "Do you see that old gentleman over there?"
"Yes, I see him," replied Oliver.
But he had no time to ask any questions before the Dodger and Charlie had walked silently up behind the old man. Oliver followed them, uncertain what he should do. The old gentleman, who wore an expensive green coat and gold glasses, had picked up a book from the stall and was reading it carefully. Oliver watched in shock as the Dodger put his hand into the old gentleman's pocket and took out a handkerchief. The Dodger passed the handkerchief to Charlie, and the two of them ran off. Suddenly, the whole truth appeared to Oliver. All the handkerchiefs at Fagin's house and the game Fagin had played with the boys. Oliver stood, unable to move for a moment, terrified. Then he ran. But as soon as Oliver started to run, the old gentleman noticed that his handkerchief was gone, and he turned around quickly. Seeing Oliver running away, he shouted,
"Stop, thief!"
and began to chase after Oliver. The Dodger and Charlie had hidden in a doorway, but when they saw what was happening, they chased after Oliver too, crying,
"Stop, thief!"
More people joined in the chase, all shouting,
"Stop, thief!"
At last, Oliver was caught and brought down to the ground. He lay looking up at the crowd, covered in mud and dust, with blood on his face.
"Is this the thief?"
someone asked the old gentleman.
"Yes, I'm afraid it is," said the old gentleman. "Poor boy, he has hurt himself."
Just then, a policeman arrived and grabbed hold of Oliver.
"Come on, get up," he told him.
"It wasn't me, sir. It was two other boys," said Oliver, looking around. "They're here somewhere."
"Oh, no, they're not," said the policeman.
And it was true. The Dodger and Charlie had disappeared.
"Don't hurt the poor boy,"
said the old gentleman, as the policeman pulled Oliver up by his jacket and dragged him along the street to the police station.
"Are you the person who has been robbed?"
a large police officer asked the old gentleman at the police station.
"Yes, I am,"
the old gentleman replied.
"Who are you?"
said the police officer.
"My name, sir, is Brownlow. I saw the boy running away and I chased after him," the old gentleman explained. "But now I'm not sure if it was this boy who took my handkerchief. He's already injured, and I'm afraid he's ill. Please let him go.
Oliver was searched, and even though nothing was found on him, he was locked up. Mr. Brownlow looked almost as sad as Oliver.
Can he be innocent? He said to himself. There's something in that boy's face. Where have I seen it before?
Suddenly, a man ran into the police station.
Stop! Stop! Don't take the boy away! I'm the owner of the bookstall and I saw everything. It wasn't this boy who robbed the gentleman. It was another boy.
Why didn't you come sooner? The police officer demanded.
I had no one to look after the stall,
the bookstall owner explained.
I came as quickly as I could.
Let the boy go,
ordered the police officer. Out on the street, Oliver fell down onto the road. His face was deadly white and his whole body was shaking.
Poor boy, poor boy, said Mr. Brownlow. Call a carriage, somebody.
A carriage came and the bookstall owner helped to lay Oliver carefully on the seat. Mr. Brownlow gave the driver his address.
Hurry, he said to the driver. There's no time to lose.
Then he sat down beside Oliver and they drove quickly to a quiet street in Pentonville.